Hebrews chapter 2. Bow your heads with me, let us pray. Father, you are the one who made the mouths of men. And you can touch them and open them to speak. I submit my mouth to you this morning. May they speak as the oracles of God. You're the one that made the ears of men, and you can open them to hear. May you open the ears of my hearers this morning and give them understanding in that which you say. I will be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen. This morning, I would like to do what I do once or twice a year behind this pulpit. I usually love to go into the archives of an old Bible study that we have taught and turn it into a Sunday morning service, to a Sunday morning message. This is to serve two purposes. Firstly, it will give a second benefit to those of you who are here when the Bible study was taught, kind of a refresher course. But secondly, it will give an opportunity to those who are not present to partake of the blessing of the said Bible study which they missed. I want to plead with you this morning to give me your undivided attention as I bring you an important message that comes in the form of a question. And the question is, are you drifting? Are you drifting? I know this being the first Sunday of the month, you expect us to do something else. We'll suspend that till next Sunday, which will be Easter Sunday. But for this morning, we have to answer this question. Are you drifting? It's a question you have to answer now. If you don't answer now, you'll answer it someday. It's better answered now because you can correct if there needs to be any correction in the answer you give. But if you wait till God Himself physically asks you the question, then the possibility of making correction will no longer be there. Are you drifting? In a recent edition of the Gospel Guide, Bill Norris wrote a very interesting article and told a tragic story of an event that resulted from drifting. Two young men were fishing above a low dam very close to their hometown. The water was flowing and was falling off the dam. And they got on their boats, throwing the line and enjoying catching fish. And they caught quite a few. As they were focusing on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. When they realized their situation, that they were close to the edge of the dam, it was too late. True story. The current and the fast moving water was moving so fast that they could not keep their boat from going over the dam. Oh yeah, you may know how to swim, but when you tumble several feet to rocks down below, swimming is not going to do you any good. Before they realized it, their boat tumbled, and they tumbled with it. And they crashed into rocks and boulders that were down in the water below, caught by the swirling water under the rocks. They never came to the surface. After days of relentless searching, divers finally found one body. And then 2 or 3 days later, they found the other body. But it was too late. They were both dead. They drifted and drifted. While they drifted now, they were fishing. While they drifted now, they were enjoying what they came for. While they drifted now, they were singing. But they did not know that they had gone unconsciously from where they started. By the time they realized it, it was too late. My question to you this morning again is, my friends, are you drifting? That's what God told me to ask you. Are you drifting? The danger of drifting is not limited only to the physical realm. It also happens in the spiritual realm. Sadly, it is not uncommon for Christians to drift towards destruction. You all know what it means to drift. To drift is to move away from a set course. To drift is to adjust from a path that you once embarked upon. To drift is to wander aimlessly. By now you should be in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1 gives us a clear warning about the possibility of drifting. Let me read it to you. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Let's read the last part together. Lest at any time we should let them slip. It's possible, folks. Lest at any time we should drift from what we once knew, drift from what we once believed, drift from what we once held on to as our Christian convictions. There are some important things you need to know about drifting. Number one, drifting requires no effort. Just stop rowing your boat against the wind. Just stop rowing your boat against the current, and automatically you begin to drift. Do you know the same is true for every Christian? When you stop rowing against the wind, when you stop saying no, when you stop saying I disagree with what the devil is offering you, when you stop resisting, just make no effort, you'll begin to drift. You begin to drift. But there's something else about drifting. Drifting can be an unconscious process. You may be drifting and not be conscious of it. They were sitting on the boat. The river was still, yet it was moving. And as they unconsciously drifted, they were drifting to their destruction. It's a process that comes unawares because there is an undercurrent. Underneath that is pulling the boat. Even though you don't see any movement on the surface, there is something under the surface that is pulling the boat. Unfortunately, it never pulls the boat upstream. It always pulls the boat downstream. Precious hearts, I want you to listen to me this morning. Many people have drifted away from the Lord without really realizing it. On the surface, everything looks okay. You look at them, everything is fine. But there is something underneath their feet that is pulling them. Only one day they discover themselves that they have left the scriptures completely. As it happens to individuals, so it happens to churches. Many of the churches today that are far from God did not begin that way. Many of the churches now that say it's okay to marry homosexuals, they did not begin that way. We were having Bible study last Wednesday. One of the saints here was telling me that she belonged to a church where the pastor was a lesbian and the associate pastor was a lesbian. That is a Methodist church that John Wesley started. the preacher of holiness, the preacher of righteousness, that preached thousands of holiness messages riding on a horseback. What happened? Gradually. You know what I want you to do for yourself, to yourself? Do a self-analysis. I don't want to stand here and analyze you. Analyze yourself. Look at yourself 2012, 1st of April. And back up 10 years. 1st of April, 10 years ago. Oh, if you've been in the Lord longer than that, then back up 20 years. 1st of April, 20 years ago. And ask yourself, am I still in the middle of the stream? Or have I drifted to the edge? Many of the things that you allow today, you probably will never have allowed it 20 years ago. Many of the things that you said, that you say it doesn't matter today, to you it mattered a lot 15 years ago. What happened? You drifted. Gradually. But there's something I found out also about drifting. The speed downstream always increases. When you begin upstream, the speed is slow. But the closer you get to the end, as you go downstream, the speed becomes rapid. It becomes rapid. The more you drift, the more the speed of drifting catches you up. You see, the best thing is for you never to drift. The best thing is for you to stay where you are, to believe what you believe, to hold on to what you held on, because the moment you begin to leave what you held on to, it will become easy to leave more. It will become easy to deny more. It will become easy to walk away from more. Hey. Do you know that the more you drift, the more you lose sight of land? Do you know the more you drift away from God, the more you lose sight of heaven? Do you know the more you drift away from God, the more you lose sight that a day is going to come when the trumpet shall sound? Do you know the more you drift away from God, the more you forget there is a day when we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall give account of everything we have done in this body, whether good or whether bad, whether righteous or whether unrighteous. Listen to me, precious hearts, as we move farther and farther away from the Lord, we care less and less about what we do. That's the truth. The more you move away from the truth, the more you care less about the truth, the more you get hardened against the truth. Have you noticed that the more you stay out of church, the easier it becomes to stay out of church? Yes, sir. Oh, when you dropped out of Bible study, have you noticed that you felt uneasy about it? But after you dropped out the first week, and you dropped out the second week, it became easier to drop out the third week. It became easier to drop out the fourth week. Now to come back is an uphill battle for you, because now something has replaced Bible study in your life. Are you drifting? You used never to miss Friday meetings. Never missed it. But you missed it the first time because somebody was doing birthday. And the next week, somebody was doing funeral day. After that, somebody else was doing something else. 1 week turned into two. Two turned into three. Three turned into four. And before you realized it, you got another job for Friday. Drifting. The more you drift, the easier it becomes for you to drift, and the less and less you care about what you used to care about. That's what it happens to drifters. Because the speed downstream increases. But let me tell you something else about drifting. Drifting is not only dangerous to you, but it's dangerous to others. Do you know the most dangerous boat on the river is an uncontrollable boat? Because it will run into anything that stands in its way. There is no control. When you drift away from the truth, when you drift away from God, when you drift away from what you used to hold on to, you become a danger to other people. If you're a member of a church, you become a danger to other church members. If you're a husband, you become a danger to your wife. If you're a wife, you become a danger to your husband. And if you are children, you become a danger to your parents. Several years ago in Alabama, a man went out and left his wife and go sleep with a woman. And he contracted HIV. He didn't know. He drifted. And I came back home. You know, you can drink oil and clean your mouth. And nobody will ever know you drank oil. But inside, knows. Not only a danger to yourself, when you drift, you're a danger to others. His son, innocent boy, loves to use his father's toothbrush. He didn't know that daddy just bled in his mouth and left some blood in the toothbrush. Oh, at this time too, daddy never knew he was HIV positive. He was still as clean as a whistle. The boy used the toothbrush. Of course, it punctured his gums. And daddy's blood found his way into his system. That's how daddy was lost. And son was lost. And the mother became a victim, lost a husband, lost a son, and she herself got a death sentence. Because in those days, the advancement against HIV is not as great as we have today. We thank God. When you drift, you're not only a danger to yourself, but a danger to those around you. When you're part of the deliverance team, you're casting devils out. But there are devils that need to be cast out of you too. And people come fasting and praying, expecting to be delivered, and they open themselves up to you to lay hands on them and to pray for them, and not only do they not get delivered, they pick up the spirit on you too. Drifting is not only a danger to yourself, it's a danger to other people too. Because a boat, a ship that is just going around on the water aimlessly, will run into anything that is in its vicinity. Please don't drift. if not for your sake, for the sake of other people who are around you. Drifting is not only dangerous to others in the context that I have described it, but it's dangerous to you parents on the effect it will have on your children. Because when your children see you as parents begin to drift, you don't go to church anymore. Consequently, they don't go to church too. You don't read Bible anymore. Consequently, they don't read Bible too. You don't give them the spiritual leadership that you should give them. Consequently, they have no leadership to look up to. What happens? It's a shipwreck. The question this morning is, are you drifting? You know, the bad thing about drifting is it always ends up in a shipwreck. I don't care how you put it. A ship that drifts, that drifts and drifts and drifts and drifts will end up crashing. There's no question about that. Because a time will come when you will run out of being on the water. For those who drift spiritually through their own neglect. Look at that verse again. Therefore, we ought to give the more honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. Look at the next statement. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Look at verse number 3 now. If you drift, how shall we escape? If you drift from such great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it. How can you escape trouble when you drift from the Lord? The danger of drifting is real, people. Or there will have been no need to warn us not to let it slip. You know, I'm bringing this message so you can go back to whatever you left. Easter period. It's a time for resurrection. So that whatever is dead in your life, you can cry to the God of resurrection to raise you up. And I pray that whatever is dead in our lives will come alive during this period in the mighty name of Jesus. What are the common signs of drifting? You know you are drifting when you have no more desire to study the Bible. You know, the Bible is a unique book. A source of information that you don't find anywhere else. It's God's revelation. Showing us the purpose of God for our lives and what our own purpose in life shall be and what our own destiny in life shall be. It tells us of the dreadfulness of sin and the consequences of sin and how God can save us from our sins. It provides us direction for living. But if we drift away from it, how would you have all those things that the Bible offers? How do I know I'm drifting? I don't read my Bible anymore. I just read my Bible casually. Used to sit down and read Bible for 15 minutes every day, 30 minutes every day, maybe even 1 hour every day. But just get away from it. I'm too busy to read the Bible. You're drifting, boy. You're drifting. How do I know I'm drifting? When I don't pray like I used to pray anymore. I'm drifting. Because prayer is a wonderful blessing. An avenue to communicate with God and for God to communicate back with you. Jesus Christ spent a good deal of time in prayer before his Father. When the Christian prays less and less, it shows me that he's drifting more and more. I go back to the question I asked you before. What took you out of Bible study? I mean, you used to be diligent. What took the diligence away from you? Oh, no, I didn't drift. I just got busy. Well, the busyness is driftness. What took you away from Sunday service? Do you know many people are not here this morning who are just sitting at home? There are people who never will miss Sunday service for nothing. That was then, not now. You know why they miss it? There's no need for it. But you know what God says? You're drifting. You're not where you used to be. Gradually, gradually, gradually. I went to visit a friend in Lagos, Nigeria, a couple of years ago. And he was living in a story building. There's a down floor, there's a ground floor, and there's another floor on top. You know what happened? All the houses in that neighborhood have gone from two-story houses to one. The ground floor gradually sank till there was no need for a staircase. The second floor has now become the ground floor. Do you know you used to be second floor in the realm of the spirit? If you don't know it, heaven knew it. If you don't know it, your angels knew it. And they're asking questions in heaven about you. And they're saying, what happened to him? And your angels said, I can't understand. And God says, but he sank. And heaven says, yes, he sank. And God says, before we realize it, even the floor that is above the ground will go under the ground. Because if the first floor could be swallowed up by the earth, it's just a matter of time. The second floor will go down too. And the place that used to be the roof will now be the place where you can sit and not worry about any steps. Check out your life. If you don't check it now, a day will come when you will check it. If all we do in fresh anointing is come and shout fire. If all we do in fresh anointing is come and shout prayer. If all we do in fresh anointing is come and shout prayer and prayer and prayer and deliverance and deliverance. But there's something eating you up like cancer. What good will it be? You know, it's possible to do all these things. The people doing deliverance churches. And yet there is not a solid relationship with the God of heaven. With all you're getting, get a personal relationship with God. Paul said that I may know him. There is no more hunger in the body of Christ today. Paul the Apostle was a man that knew God intimately. Paul the Apostle was a man that walked with God. Paul the Apostle was a man that lived for God. And with all that, he was still crying, oh, that I may know him. Today, if somebody knows how to recite the Lord's Prayer, they think they have known him. Today, when somebody knows how to cast out an evil spirit, they think they have known him. But there's a deeper knowledge. There's a higher height. There's a deeper height. There's a deeper depth than what we are carrying around today, foolishness that we call spirituality. How do I know I'm drifting? Check your prayer life. seriously. How do I know I'm drifting? Check your interest in studying the Bible. How do I know I'm drifting? Check the way you pray. How do I know I'm drifting? When I have a diminishing desire to be with God's people. When there is more desire to be with the world than to be with God. You know, I told you a story about myself last Sunday. That I was craving my old friend who we used to drink around and smoke around. And God told me, son, you are drifting. Because friendship with the world is enmity with God. Do you know what God is saying to you this morning? Let them go. Let them go. Because what they have done, Elijah, put your hand in my hand, is to pull you. And to pull you. And come, come, come. Is to pull you. He's reluctant. Is to pull you. And pull you away. You know, Elijah is very spiritual. Elijah said, I will not be pulled away in Jesus' name. Why is he using me as an example? Bishop has come again. No, you are not going anywhere. You are Elijah. The fire of God is upon your life. But I'm just, they just cool you. This is just an illustration. It's drama, it's not you, don't worry. Just pull you. For you, when I hold your hand, you are going higher in Jesus' name. You know what you need to do? Let them go. The South Africans have an incredible way of catching monkeys. They don't use bows. They don't use guns. They don't use any of those things that we use, traps, to catch monkeys. No. They just take peanuts and put them inside bottles with a narrow neck. That's all they do. Bottles inside narrow neck. They put peanuts inside. And they put it underneath the tree where the monkeys play. So the monkeys will come and see the peanuts inside the bottles and put their hand inside it and grab the peanut. When they grab the peanut now and they clench their fist to pull the hand out of the narrow neck of the bottle becomes a problem. So they will be screaming. Ah, 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 ah. That will alert the hunters. And the hunters will come and catch them live. You know why? They will not let go of the. That's all. This is no voodoo. This is no witchcraft. What you are holding on to will turn you into a captive. All the monkey needs to do is not by force. Before this peanut came, I ate. And after I let go of this peanut, I will eat. Young lady, before this man came into your life, you had clothes. After he leaves, God will still dress you up. Before this man came into your life, you had livelihood. You had a place. I know he's pumping money into your life and you are wondering what will happen if I let him go. Let him go and let God go for you. One of the ways we know a person is drifting is who they are holding on to, who they are willing to let go of. Diminishing desire to be with God's people. You know, the worst place I can be on Sunday morning is to stay in my house. Even if I'm going to church and I know the people don't like me, I just want to be there. Came back home last night from Miami around midnight. Slept around 2 a.m. this morning. Started singing to myself. I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. My body may not want to go with me, but whether it likes it or not, it must come along with me. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Because there is a desire in my heart to see Sister Eunice. A desire in my heart to see Brother Elijah. A desire in my heart to see Sister Nwokafor. A desire in my heart to see Sister Gad. A desire in my heart to see every one of you. Even though my body, a desire in my heart to hear Brother Sunday play the organ for the congregation of him. A desire in my heart that nothing can take away from me. But when I begin to say, well, I'll see them next Sunday. There's always another Sunday. If I don't see them this week, I'll see them next week. And I'm beginning to drift. Beginning to drift. I'm beginning to drift. How do I know I'm drifting? When there's a diminishing interest in the Bible, a diminishing interest in the Word of God, a diminishing interest in prayer, a diminishing interest to be with the people of God. If I no longer rejoice in the worship of God and in the presence of my brethren, then I'm drifting. If I have a diminishing desire to share the gospel, I'm drifting. Because if I'm ashamed of the gospel, then something is wrong with me. If I now have more thrill over the things of the world, hey, then I'm drifting. I'm drifting. I'm drifting. If now I hear that the Temptations are coming to town, are the Temptations still playing? Or they have gone out of it? They still around? Different group. Different people. The Temptations. Who is in vogue now? Beyonce. Is it Beyonce? Is it Beyonce they call her? Or Beyonce? Beyonce? Hmm? No, I'm not setting anybody up. Just... You people, you are too much. Ah, wow. They think I'm setting them up. No, I'm not. I'm not. Honestly, I'm not. This is the first Sunday I'm honest. My wife said, we are not current. You know, there are people who will miss church because a group is coming to town. Say, I just love that group. They sing about love song. They sing love song. I just love to hear love song. You are drifting. Say, what's wrong with love songs? After all, God is love. You are drifting. If you have not already drifted, you are drifting. And so Saturday night, that's where you are. I called one of my sons in Nigeria this morning, and He was standing so sleepy. I said, young man, why are you sleepy? Oh, he said, I went to night vigil last night. He went to night vigil last night, and he still went to morning service this morning. So he came back home after service and just crashed. That's how to spend your life. You can't do that and drift. But when you begin to fall in love with country music, honky-tonky man, don't break my heart, my achy, breaky heart. That's your favorite song. Have you ever gotten to somebody's car? And unconsciously they turn on the ignition and their favorite station comes on. And they say, in Jesus' name, they put it off and they put a Christian song there. Come on, go on listening to it. That's what you have been listening to before you put us in your car. You are drifting. So what's wrong with that? Does it minister to your spirit? Or does it minister to your flesh? If it's not good for your spirit, it's not good for you. Let it go. Drift away from it. Go back to the truth. And we have, you know, these days people will tell you, I'm not convicted. I don't see anything wrong with that. You may see something wrong with it. As far as I'm concerned, I don't see anything wrong with it. I remember a young man in our fellowship many years ago. He just loved worldly music. And he also had Christian music on the side now. So it's your choice. When his unbelieving friends come in, there is the Temptations. There is, what's the blind man's name? Stevie Wonder. There's that one. Who else? No, I'm not setting you up. Please help me preach my sermon. Anyway, he had all that on the side, and he had all the Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and the song that BC sang this morning. He had all that on the side. So whoever came will fit. And we told him, come on, get rid of this. Don't sow to the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. He said, there's nothing wrong. I can mingle with the two. Thank God for babies. His son was about the age of this young man here. How old is your son? 3, exactly. His son was about 3 years old. And he was walking around the house one day. He went to the rack. You remember those big records we used to have? Is it 33 RPM? The son went there, guided by the Holy Spirit, and removed all the worldly songs and broke them. Literally broke them and left the Christian songs and walked away. Out of the mouth of babes. Listen. If you want to be for the light, walk in the light. If you want to be for the darkness, walk in darkness. But light and darkness mixing together is confusing us. It's confusing us. You are drifting. You are drifting. You are drifting. Now you are in the companionship of rich people. And you know when they meet, they must break the bottle of champagne. So in your house now, there is a rack. Where there are strong alcoholic drinks. You know what the Bible says? Give wine to him that is ready to perish. That's what the Bible says. We say, but God made wine. Jesus gave wine to them. You know, you can find any foolishness you want to find in the Bible for your destruction. I don't even argue with such people at all. When you begin to get increasing thrill over the things of the world. I remember the day my daughter graduated from high school. I was the first child I will ever have that graduated from high school. It turned out to be, it was a Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning. I told her I will not be at your graduation. Sorry. She said, why? I got to preach. Your daddy is a preacher. I don't preach. She left college, graduated Sunday again. Sorry. Tell them to change it to Thursday or Tuesday. I will come. If they cannot change it, you know I love you. But the master comes first. That was then. That was the ancient landmark that we used to walk in the 70s, in the 80s. But today, that is irrelevant. And God is saying, who changed? I'm still where I was. But the preachers have changed. And their followers have changed. They've drifted away from where we met into something else because others are doing it. Others may do it. You must not. That's what made Daniel to stand out. Everybody was drinking. Everybody was eating. Everybody was eating food sacrificed to idols. And they offered Daniel. He says, sorry. Sorry. I will not defile myself. Are you being defiled right now? You get defiled Monday, you get defiled Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you come on Sunday dressed like a Christian. Totally drifted. If you can't live this life for God, you might as well go into the world. Are you drifting? Are you increasingly having thrill over the things of the world? The Apostle John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And there are a lot of things in the world that you can easily fall in love with, but God said, don't love them. Don't love them. Don't go after worldly pleasures. They will destroy your spiritual life. They will. They will. When you begin to find more pleasure in worldly activity than meeting with others to worship God, when you begin to find more pleasure in worldly activity than meeting them to study the word or to pray or to seek God, you are definitely spiritually adrift. As I close, I got 7 more minutes. How do I avoid drifting? How do I avoid drifting? Let me help you. Let me allow you to help me preach my sermon for 1 minute. The story I told you about those people who are fishing. What do you think they could have done to avoid the end that befell them? Anybody help me? Anchor the boats, Peggy. You got it. Anchor the boat. Turn to somebody and tell them, anchor your boat. Hey. Anchor your boat. How can you have a ship that has no anchor? Hey. Show me a captain that set sails without an anchor. I wish I knew we were going to talk about this. I will have told Brother Sunday to let us sing that old church song, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides rift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Then it goes to the chorus. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Do you love Jesus enough to say, I'm sold out to you? Do you love Jesus enough to say, I'm hooked on you? Do you love Jesus enough to say, Jesus, I ain't going nowhere? Hey. Do you love Jesus enough to say what Ruth said to Naomi? Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you die, I will die. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. The only thing that will separate you and I is death. Rise up on your feet. We're going to talk to God this morning. And we're going to make a new commitment. We're going to make a new dedication to the Lord. And say, Jesus, I'm going to dip my anchor and let it hold. Let it hold. Let it hold. And I'm going to ask you to help me in the mighty name of God. I feel like making an altar call this morning. But if I make an altar call, all of you will be out. And this place will not occupy you. So I want you to turn where you are into an altar. I want you to say, my Father, my Father. Come on, open your mouth and say, my Father, my Father. Every spirit of drifting in my life, remove by fire. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Every spirit of drifting in my life, every spirit of drifting in my life, whichever way I've gone adrift, oh Lord, remove it, remove it, remove it, remove it, remove it, remove it in the mighty name of Jesus. Every way I've drifted away from you, every way I've drifted away from you, oh Lord, my God, restore me in the mighty name of Jesus. Every way I've drifted away from you, oh God. Everywhere I've drifted away from you, Lord, break the power of drifting. Break the spirit of drifting. Remove it from my life totally and completely in the mighty name of Jesus. Help me to be anchored. I want you to pray. I want you to tell the Lord, anchor me in you. Anchor me in Jesus. Anchor me in Jesus. Hook me to you completely. Hook me to you permanently in the mighty name of Jesus. Help me not to drift. Help me to stand with you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh God! Anchor me in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me tell you something you don't know. Maybe you don't. There is no retirement in the Christian life. No retirement. No retirement. So what we are going to pray this morning is that God should bring you back from retirement into active service. You know how you used to be active? You know yourself. But somehow down along the road, you retired from this, you retired from that, you retired from that. Now those who didn't know you when you were you, alright, they may not know you, but we know you. We knew who you used to be when we were in Brooklyn. We knew who you used to be when we were in the Bronx, but somehow down along the road, you retired. God is calling you, come out of retirement, because I still have a lot to do with you. I still have a lot to do for you. Say, my Father, my Father. Say, strength to return from retirement. Let it come upon me by fire. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever I have retired from, oh God, whatever I've retired from in my life, I know how I used to do this. I know how I used to do that. I know how I used to do that. Whatever I have retired from, whatever I've walked away from, whatever I've said no more to, I pray that you will bring me back this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Recover me from retirement in the name of Jesus. Whatever I've retired from, whatever I used to do that I don't do anymore, whatever I used to hold on to that I don't hold on to anymore, whatever fervency I don't have anymore, oh God, restore me from retirement. Yeah. Restore me. Restore me. Restore me from retirement. Restore me from retirement. Yea. Yea. Father, have mercy on us. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I pray for you this afternoon. May you be rooted in Jesus Christ. I didn't hear your amen. I said, may you be rooted in Christ Jesus. May you be grounded in Christ Jesus. May you be anchored to the truth. I said, may you be anchored to the truth. In the name of Jesus. May you be rooted to the love of God. May you be rooted to the love of Christ. May nothing be able to shake you from that and the place that God has placed you in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever storms are blowing around your life and are shaking you from steadfastness, may God give you an anchor that storms of life cannot shake. May God give you an anchor that nothing will be able to break in the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, I pray for you that the message you have heard will not stand against you on the day of judgment. They will not say to you on that day, but you had it. They will not say unto you on that day, but he preached it. They will not say unto you on that day, why didn't you do something about it? I pray that the grace to be doers of the word shall be granted unto you this afternoon in the name of Jesus Christ. New power, new grace to be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, to be restored 100%. May it be your portion. I said, may it be your portion. I said, may it be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you honor. Take our life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take our moments, take our days, take our minutes, take our seconds, and may they be glued to the Lord Jesus Christ. Drift, we will drift no more in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name we pray. I didn't hear your amen. I didn't hear your amen.